Stay tuned for Nightline Africa, coming up right after these latest world news headlines.
I'm Michael Brown reporting. President Trump says he could name the new FBI director within days. Trump revealed his intention ahead of his commencement address today at Liberty University in Virginia, the nation's largest Christian college, whose leader was among Trump's earliest supporters. Trump urged the graduates to follow their convictions and to uphold what is right for themselves, their families, and the country.
Never stop fighting for what you believe in and for the people who care about you. Carry yourself with dignity and pride. Demand the best from yourself and be totally unafraid to challenge entrenched interests and failed power structures. Does that sound familiar, by the way? The more people tell you it's not possible, that it can't be done, the more you should be absolutely determined to prove them wrong.
Trump's address marks his first extended public appearance since Tuesday's firing of FBI Director James Comey. Mr. Trump has escalated his feud with Comey, tweeting an implication, there are secret recordings of one of their private conversations from earlier this year. White House Press Secretary Sean Spicer on Trump dismissing Comey.
This is ultimately the president's, always going to be the president's decision. Everyone who serves at the pleasure of the president, it's ultimately going to be his decision to hire someone, to fire someone. He made a decision, in part based on the recommendation, and he's now focused on making sure that we have a replacement at the FBI to instill the proper leadership they need.
The FBI is investigating Russia's alleged meddling in the 2016 U.S. election and possible collusion with the Trump presidential campaign. Mr. Trump has dismissed those allegations as a hoax. From here in Washington, this is VOA News. A senior North Korean diplomat said Saturday Pyongyang will be willing to talk with the United States under the right conditions. U.S. officials have yet to comment on the diplomat's statement. President Trump said last month there could be a major conflict with the North, but he would prefer a diplomatic solution to the conflict over the North's nuclear and missile programs. U.S. media outlets are reporting cyber attacks that hit companies and public institutions with so-called ransomware has slowed. With 45,000 attacks in 74 countries, ransomware is a type of computer malware that infects a target system, locks and encrypts all files, then demands a cash payment from the victim in return for reversing the encryption. Here now from the CEO of a U.S.-based internet security firm.
Organizations as well as end users really need to pay attention to keeping their systems up to date. When your service providers are providing you patches, you've got to make sure you're on top of that. But as enterprises, as large as Telefonica that have been impacted today, they really need right tools for monitoring their users, monitoring the activities, building education and awareness programs for employees on what types of links they should or should not click, and ultimately monitoring their environments proactively.
The cyber extortion attempt appeared to use stolen Microsoft Windows-based software developed by the U.S. National Security Agency for its intelligence gathering purposes and was later leaked to the Internet. A recent decision by Saudi Arabia's King Salman to grant women more rights won praise in some quarters and discontent in others. Edward Duranian has more in this report.
Saudi TV announced with little fanfare the royal decree last week permitting women to make a certain number of decisions without seeking the permission of a male guardian. It said that the move conforms with Islamic Sharia law. Legal advisor Hassa al-Dulaimi told State TV the decision was based on a complaint over equality of the sexes in obtaining services from the government. She says Saudi women will now be able to obtain various government services, including the right to enroll in a university, the right to open a bank account, and the right to leave prison after finishing a sentence without the agreement of a male guardian. Edward Uranian for VOA News, Cairo.
Palestinians in the occupied West Bank are choosing four representatives on dozens of councils Saturday. However, the voting taking place in the Gaza Strip. The elections are widely seen as a popularity vote for President Mahmoud Abbas' Fatah's party. The Palestinian militant group Hamas, which controls the Gaza Strip, remains deeply split from its more moderate political rival Fatah and its leader Abbas, who heads the Palestinian Authority. The rivals are blaming each other for the election not being held in Gaza. I'm Michael Brown reporting in Washington.
That's the latest world news from VOA.
Good evening and welcome to Nightline Africa. We are coming to you live from the English service of The Voice of America. Thanks for joining us. I'm Peter Clotty in Washington.
We are calling on the members of the public, particularly Nigerians, that they should not give in to terrorist propaganda, because we are so determined to continue with our clearance operations and we are solidly behind the federal government's peace initiative.
Boko Haram releases videos threatening to attack the Nigerian capital, Abuja.
It's a commission that will try to find out what's going to be the way forward while people are organizing the 2020 election.
Burundian President Pierre Nkurunziza establishes a committee to review the constitution to remove presidential term limits.
General Tumukunde was being decent as being part of the rotten system. Otherwise, if he was kind to the country, he would have acknowledged the fact that this is no longer a police force.
And the Ugandan security minister criticizes the police for lacking command and control skills in crime detection and prevention. Those stories and more coming up on Nightline Africa. Nigerian Islamist militant group Boko Haram released videos showing some of the abducted Chibok schoolgirls refusing to be rescued, but rather choosing to remain with the militants. In one of the videos, Boko Haram claimed the militants have returned to the Sambisa forest and would soon launch attacks in the Nigerian capital, Abuja. This comes after the government swapped 82 of the abducted girls with detained suspected Boko Haram militants last week. For reaction about the latest Boko Haram threat, I reached Brigadier General Sani Kukashika Usman, the Nigerian military spokesman.
They're just mere propaganda by the individual who has lost touch with the current realities in the fight against terrorism and insurgency in the country and the peace process. As a matter of fact, the facts speak for themselves, as he himself is a direct beneficiary of the recent swapping of the 82 abducted girls with some of the Boko Haram terrorists. So as such, he is inconsequential, and we are calling on the members of the public, particularly Nigerians, that they should not give in to terrorist propaganda, because we are so determined to continue with our clearance operations, and we are solidly behind the federal government's peace initiative in its effort to ensure that all abducted persons have been rescued or released and the remnants of Boko Haram terrorists in our country have been, you know, cleared.
What assurances are you going to give the public? Because these latest videos have been released by Boko Haram, some people are expressing concern that even some of these latest released Chibok girls could have been trained to be the enemies within to attack.
We are taking adequate steps and measures to ensure that the remnants of Boko Haram terrorists are either arrested or neutralized, as the case may be. Then you are quite right about the issue of indoctrination. And it is still part of the propaganda, because in another video clip, they showed about four of the girls saying why they don't want to be rescued or they don't want to be released. But it's just mere propaganda. If they give them the opportunity to escape from the clutches of the Boko Haram terrorists, I can rest assured you, they prefer being with civilized people than being with criminals. So what I want you to understand is that we are not resting on our oars. Although we support the federal government initiative and will continue to support it, but at the same time, we are unrelenting in our clearance operation to ensure we cleared all the vestiges of the Boko Haram terrorists on our territory. And it's just a matter of time.
Talking about the latest released 82 Chibok girls, are you gathering intelligence that will aid your work in fighting these militants?
Gathering of intelligence is concurrent event. What I'm trying to say is that we have been doing it. Of course, their release is another welcome opportunity to get more information. But I can rest assure you, the intelligence arm of the military and, of course, the Nigerian government is also doing the best it could. And in fact, it was the intelligence that led to the arrest of that criminal that released the video today. And I can rest assure you they are up and doing, and it's just a matter of time. And that is why we have so much confidence to give assurance to Nigerians that it's just a matter of time.
Abu Dada, or Mani as they call him, threatened that Boko Haram will still bomb the Nigerian capital, Abuja, soon. How do you address some of these concerns?
We already address it in the sense that we know that it's an empty threat, but that notwithstanding, we are taking adequate measures and thoughts to ensure that nothing of such happened. And apart from that, if you keenly follow the fight against terrorism and insurgency in Nigeria, you will understand that actually such things are gradually becoming an instinct, even in other parts of the country, let alone the Federal Capital Territory. So what I want you to understand is that Money, or whatever he calls himself, he is just trying to be relevant in the scheme of things and to scare people. But it's just a question of propaganda, nothing more than that. But the reality on the ground clearly supports the part that he is just talking.
Brigadier General Sani Kukashika Usman is the Nigerian military spokesman. He spoke with me from the Rwandan capital, Kigali. Burundian President Pierre Nkurunziza has signed an executive order Friday that sets up a 15-member commission to rewrite the constitution. Civil society and opposition groups have rejected the move, saying it paves the way for the removal of presidential term limits. This, they said, would allow Nkurunziza to seek another term, despite promising not to do so following the president's decision to seek a controversial term in the recent election. To learn more, I reach Willy Nyamitwe, special advisor to Burundian President Pierre Nkurunziza.
It's a commission that will try to find out what's going to be the way forward while people are organizing the 2020 elections. So we need to amend our constitution to adapt to the current situation.
When you say to adapt to the current situation, what does it mean? Does it mean that constitutional term limits are going to be removed, paving the way for him to seek re-election?
It means that the population of Burundi went through a dialogue process. And in that dialogue process, we have got some contributions, some ideas that have been shared by the population. So we need to take into account all the propositions which came from this dialogue process in order to amend our constitution and organize well the upcoming elections.
Willie, there was controversy surrounding the Arusha Agreement and whether the president could stand for re-election or not. Don't you think that the removal of the term limit will create another round of confusion and possible violence in Burundi?
It has never been a question of talking about Pierre Nkurunziza. It's one part of the opinion has voiced out that the term limits maybe have been the source of what we have gone through in 2015, while others are saying that we need to keep them. So this is a democratic debate. We need to amend our constitution to see whether those who are thinking we need to keep the term limits are right or not. But it has never been questioned about or to talk about President Nkurunziza. They have never put a name on that. They only say we need those terms limit to be aborted
while others are saying we need them to stay and remain.
President Nkurunziza promised Burundians and the entire international community that he would not seek re-election following the controversy that surrounded the recent elections. If constitutional limits are removed, is he going to seek re-election? If not, why did he even appoint this 15-member board to review the provision that removes term limits?
I think it's very early to talk about this because the board has only been set up. Let's wait for them to work and come up with the conclusions. But what we have to understand is that according to our constitution, President Pierre Nkurunziza said that he would not seek another term. And if the constitution comes to be changed and that the population of Burundi says, we need him to come back, then at that time, we will know if he's coming back or not. But it's very early, and I think people should just wait for this board to work and conclude its work. And then we will know if President Nkurunziza is coming back or not, or if someone else will be the next president of Burundi. But, you know, in this country, it's only a debate. And in that debate, we have to be careful because some people are being misled
by
what is being said.
But Willie, isn't this the same case across Africa where presidents will say, well, this is just a debate. I have no hand in it. This is for the people. Yet they amend the constitution. I can give you examples that have arisen. The constitutions were amended and allow the president to run in perpetuity.
I think Burundi is different with those countries. Burundi is not Rwanda. Burundi is not Uganda. We have our democracy and we have our realities. And what happened in Burundi didn't happen in some other countries where people have stayed in power for many years. But some international actors wanted and have worked hard for a regime change in Burundi. So let's stop comparing Burundi with other countries because they are different countries and different realities.
Willie Nyamito is a special advisor to Burundian President Pierre Nkurunziza. He spoke with me from the capital, Bujumbura. The Ugandan security minister has criticized the police for lacking command and control skills in crime detection and prevention. Lieutenant General Henry Tumukunde accused police officers of negligence in their areas of command and for failing to investigate and report security issues to relevant authorities. His remarks came while addressing a security meeting for district police commanders. Mathias Mpuga, an opposition parliamentarian, told me the security minister's accusations are evidence enough to launch a process to disband and reconstitute the entire Ugandan police force.
General Tumukunde was being decent as being part of the rotten system. Otherwise, if he was kind to the country, he would have acknowledged the fact that this is no longer a police force, but a militia that we should be disbanding immediately. Because the job of policing is not their daily work. The daily work is to hunt for imaginary enemies of the state and engage in runaway corruption and politicking. So for me, beyond giving these people seminars and workshops to again waste taxpayers' money, this force needs to be disbanded because, for me, it's not a police force. It is an ethnic militia. And the biggest worry in the country is that it is capable of fomenting a genocide because the tortures that you see being meted out onto Ugandans, that group is known on record of committing crime in various parts of the country. In my own constituency, they have failed to protect the people, and we suspect they are the ones behind the tongue-wielding gangs that are very busy tormenting citizens.
He recommended a refresher course for police commanders and senior officers to equip them better to protect the people, because at his stance now, he admits that the police have not been able to prevent crime, among other shenanigans in the society.
Beyond retraining, This group needs to be screened. We need a new beginning for the police. We need to disband this group, not just to train the current officers and men. We need to recruit anew. We need a new people with ethos of policing. This group has been intoxicated. It's incapable of learning a new thing. It is corrupt. It is so lopsided in thinking. I don't think there's any amount of refresher that can redeem their image and their thinking. They drank from a poisoned chalice. They cannot recover. I actually think they need to be rehabilitated. They have a problem.
Who is going to undertake that suggestion?
Well, there needs to be admission, first of all. The only biggest service General Tumukunde has done to the country as Minister for Security is to admit. Admission is part of a solution. When you accept that there's a problem, acceptance is part of a solution. He can actually engender government starting a process of re-recruiting people from the community. In other countries, police is derived from the community, not handpicked. So we need to start anew. The same minister and his team, after admitting there is a problem, can start in a new beginning. They should come and offer help. They should come to parliament. And we have a conversation as a people, as a country, on the best way of recruiting police. Because recruitment is probably the biggest problem in the police force. Like I said, it is an ethnic militia. It is a loop-sided group, and you cannot use it as a mirror of what our society represents in terms of character and in terms of personal behavior.
Some police officers across the country are saying that the recruitment exercise is predominantly opened to all qualified Ugandans who meet the requirements set by the police command. So if any other ethnic group refuses to register to join and to go through the process, it should not be the government to blame on this. So your take?
Then I'm surprised that when everybody is recruited from across the country, only one ethnic group is capable of being promoted. That's a shock. At least as a Ugandan, I am around to know who is who. You go and screen on who is who in the police force, you'd be shocked. You'd imagine that it's just a tribal police, but not a national police. But that's part of the bigger problem. The malaise therein can only be cured by, first of all, admission that is a problem. Then we can go for a proper conversation on how to get a serious community police.
Mathias Mpuuga is a Ugandan opposition parliamentarian. He spoke with me from the capital, Kampala. The Rwandan presidential election is less than 3 months away. Incumbent President Paul Kagame plans to stand for a third term. The head of the opposition, the Green Party of Rwanda, Frank Habineza, is also expected to run. But perhaps a surprise candidate is 35-year-old Diane Shima Rugara, who also plans to run as an independent. She recently revealed her manifesto, which entails eradicating poverty. The National Electoral Commission will receive nominations from candidates before announcing a provisional list of qualified candidates on June 27. My colleague Douglas Mpuuga reached Ms. Shima Rugara in the capital, Kigali, and asked about the seriousness of her bid.
I'm very serious about it, and the reason why I decided to run is because as things stand now in Rwanda, there is nobody speaking on our behalf. So if there's no politician who is able to talk about the issues we are facing as Rwandans, then I will not wait forever for somebody else to do it when I know I can do it myself.
And we understand you are running as an independent. First of all, why are you running as an independent, and do you have the resources to run a national campaign?
I'm running as an independent because I think it's best for me to do it this way at this point. And I do have enough resources.
The nominations will be confirmed in June 27th. Given the political landscape in Rwanda, what are the chances of being nominated?
I am positive. I'm hopeful that I will be nominated because our government has realized that they cannot keep excluding us from the decision-making process. So I am positive, and I'm looking forward to my nomination.
Given the situation in Rwanda, we remember there was a lady like you who tried to run for president, whom we know now is currently in jail. How secure are you? How do you feel about your security as you run for president?
Well, as you know, it's not that easy to be. It's not easy to be vocal in our country. So I try to focus on what is needed, which is change, and not worry about the many malicious attacks that come up. But yeah, it's not easy to express oneself in this country. Definitely not.
What motivates you? What gives you courage to believe that you can make a change in your country?
What motivates me is the current state of our country. There is a very high unemployment rate, especially among the youth. There is injustice. People disappear. People get killed. And the perpetrators of those crimes are never brought to justice. There are many problems in our country, mainly the fact that we live in fear. Of a government that is supposed to be protecting us. So I do believe that I can make some changes in this country because I'm not scared of talking, of speaking about the real issues we are dealing with. I think it's time for us, for Rwandans, and for the international community to not just look the other way when there are so many problems, so many issues going on in Rwanda. Like every other human being in this world, we need to be able to live in a country where we are not scared for expressing ourselves, where we are not scared of working freely, because it's not just people who challenge or criticize our government that pay a heavy price. It's also people who have businesses, and if the government is not part of your business, then you end up losing it. Our government interferes in all aspects of our lives, controls all aspects of our lives. And it's very hard to live in a country where you're constantly scared of the state.
Diane Shima Rigara plans to run for president in Rwanda. She spoke with my colleague Douglas Mpuga from the Rwandan capital, Kigali. South Sudanese President Salva Kiir is appealing to citizens to remain calm, this saying there will be no outbreak of violence after he fired Army Chief General Paul Malong. Malong left the capital Juba Tuesday night with a number of armed military officers. For VOA, Tito Justin reports from Juba.
President Kiir called a press conference today to speak publicly for the first time since firing Malong. Mr. Kiir faulted Malong for leaving Juba before he could officially swear in his successor, General James Ajongo. Mr. Kiir insists changes in army leadership are normal and says he is mystified as to why Malong would be angered by his replacement.
I did not talk to him this morning. I tried but didn't know. I found that he was resting because yesterday his blood pressure shot up very high. Because yesterday when I talked to him last, he was not in a good mood. He was in a fighting mood. I tried to calm him down, but he was rather wild.
Mr. Kiir tried to tamp down fears that Malong was planning to rebel against the government.
The security situation remains normal, and all citizens are urged to continue with their daily routine duties, because there is really nothing that the new people should worry about. I also encourage you also to stop incitement and inciting fear through the spread of unfounded rumors.
General Malong left Juba shortly after President Kiir sacked him as Army Chief of General Staff Tuesday night and replaced him with General James Ajongo. There have been unconfirmed reports that General Malong was heading to his hometown of Awil to set up a military base and possibly stage a rebellion against the government. Awil residents expressed fear there could be clashes between government forces and those allied to the general. Many fled to rural areas for fear that violence would break out. Malong and his soldiers ended their journey in the Eastern Lake State capital, Yirol, after local officials convinced him not to proceed to Awil in the former northern Baragazali state. Yesterday, Juba officials sent a plane to transport General Malong back to Juba, but the general declined the ride and sought guarantees for his security before returning to Juba. Eastern Lake State Governor Bor Wachut Bor told VOA that Malong is not being detained and was his guest at his state residence. Mr. Kiri says his government will ensure that Malong and the army officers with him are safe.
Personally, I am still in communication with General Paul Malong, and I have assured him of his safety as soon as he arrives in Juba.
President Kiri says he expects Malong to return to the capital today, but it's not clear whether General Malong will accept the president's offer. For VOA News, I am Tito Justin in Juba.
You are listening to Nightline Africa on the English service of The Voice of America. I'm your host, Peter Clotte, in Washington, D.C. Coming up in the second half of Nightline Africa, the Saturday music spot from our collection of music from the continent. And right now it's time for music from our African collection.
Chilling, I am feeling good. Mojaelo, I dare we find it, but she be fine, fine, let you. Our body nice and sweet, our body just causing commotion. Mojilo, mobile, damn me. Go so me see it, go take in Korea, then. Ori mi bamio, ele da mi lamio. Come on, my bamio, when you have a mission, yo. Cause they do my thing my way. I no see bad money. Mama, they always pray for me. Life, 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 life in a Jaja. Live your life and I live my life. I live in Jaja. Ori mi bamio, eleda mi lamio. Majako bamio, uniye bami shamio.
Send anybody, yeah. Give me love, yeah. want your love, eh? Whoa, whoa. Give me love, eh? Bam, bam, I don't send anybody, eh?
Now you are go Mario, my Super Mario, bam, bam. Baby, call it, oh, yeah.
She dribble pass, oh, pass, I tantalizing physically. My baby dance so radically. The fire shots from my heart. She dribble pass, oh, pass, I.
Now your matter, now info for my mouth. Cause I really, really, really love you. You are all that I am thinking about. And I really, really, really want you. Give me love, eh? I want your love, eh? Give me love, eh? I don't send anybody, yeah. Give me love, eh? I want your love, eh? Give me love, eh? I don't send anybody.
You are go Mario, my Super Mario, oh, baby Carlo, yeah. She dribble pass so precise, tantalizing physically. My baby dance so radically. The fire shots from my heart. She dribble pass so precise. City so slow, city so slow. I want to pesto, baby tomato, baby tomato. I want to cook, city so slow, city so slow. I want to test you, baby karate, baby karate. I want to be there.
Give me love, eh? I want your love, eh? Give me love, eh? I don't send anybody, yeah. Give me love, eh? I want your love, eh? Give me love, eh? I don't send anybody, yeah. Baby, now only you get my mumu body. Your love is with me for my body, yeah. And if I no get you, I no get nothing. The way you do me drive me crazy, yeah. Give me love, eh. I want your love, eh. Give me love, eh. I no send anybody, yeah. Give me love, eh. I want your love, eh. Give me love, eh. I no send anybody, yeah.
Girl, you don't make me turn up. All my body, they burn up. Girl, you don't make me turn up. I no send anybody, yeah. Girl, you don't make me turn up. All my body, they burn up. Girl, you don't make me turn up. I no send anybody, yeah.
Give me love.
Say I go buy my sheep. See me today, I dey climb mountains. My fans say, shut up, I climb it. Them say I be bombastic. Them they call me Mr. Fantastic. Them say I be romantic. In a dance hall, I be gigantic. Yeah,
help me say, Ozala, 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 Ozala,
Ozala, Ozala, Ozala, Ozala, Ozala, see me today, 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 today.
And the move easy and cool, cool. No, see me style and flow like flow.
Go for the bad man, get a youth, go for them. With a talk God, then do the talk to pay.
Me get wiser, they think I'm stupid. This not my business, I no come to play.
I'ma get competition, she a make me. And I'm a late, shut a while he been baby.
Burn a boy and shut a give them edit.
When I kill few, we kill them many.
I'm busy. Ozala, 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 do my ganda.
Say I go buy my chain. See me today, I dey climb mountains. My fans say, shut up while they climb it.
They say I be bombastic. You wanna see me in a casket. Right now, me living fantastic. Plenty talking in the food basket.
Help me say, Ozala, 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 do my ganda. Ozala, 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 do my panza. Ozala, 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 do my ganda. Ozala, 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 ozala,
Who them? See me today.
And the move easy and cool it. No, see me style and flow like fluid.
Go feed the bad man, get a youth, go feed them. With the talk to them, they talk to pay.
Me get wiser, they think I'm stupid. This time my business, I no come to play.
I'm a get competition, she a make me. And I'm a lay, shut a while in him, baby.
Burn a boy and shut a give them a day.
When I kill for you, we kill them many. I'm a piece, eh?
Hosanna, 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 to Malaganda. Hosanna, 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 to my Fonsa. Hosanna, 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 to Malaganda. Hosanna, 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 to Malaganda. Hosanna, 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 to my Fonsa. Hosanna, 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 to Malaganda.
Hey, you're quite cool.
baby, royal. michango kila siku wenzangu wana owana.
Kwa nini nitoe michango kila siku wenzangu wana owana?
She's supposed to be my wife. She's supposed to be happy. She's supposed to have my ring. She's supposed to have me wedding. Ananipenda vile sidanandi. Ananipenda vile misidangi. Ananipenda vile sokinenga. Ananipenda vile misidangi. Ananilewaza kwa mziki furi toka sokiweka. Ananikonga kwa ukasulu ndi kwa likofundwa. She's supposed to be my wife. She's supposed to be happy. She's supposed to have my ring. She's supposed to have my ring. She's supposed to be my wife. She's supposed to be happy. Wanagere, watakuwa mstari wa mbele kukwimbia.
Unameremeta, meremeta kama taa. Unameremeta, meremeta kama taa.
Serve it very hot, or I swear you will want trouble. I put some caramel on top, I put some vanilla on top. If I serve it very nice, then I serve it very hot, or I swear you will want trouble. Oh, I can't trouble. Oh, I can't trouble. Oh, I can't trouble. It's my duty to feed my baby. Oh, yeah, baby, can't trouble. Oh, baby, this one will be small trouble. Oh, baby, this one you feel it cause. It's meant for only very big shots. You are there at the right spot. Baby, the meat and everything's soft. Even the peppers are made they hot. I got the spice that you need and it tastes very sweet like fresh sugar day on top. He said he wants another round, he wants another round. He said I may be number one in town. He like the way that I wind and I wiggle. Said I make him wanna fly like an eagle. Then the boys start ring a ring a ringing. Ring a ling a ling. He said he liked the way I pop it and the thing I put on top it. So he I'm the last bus stop. You looking like you want chop. Boy, you looking like you want chop. If I put it on a platter and I serve it very hot, so I swear you will want chop. I put some caramel on top. I put some vanilla on top. If I serve it very nice, then I serve it very hot, so I swear you will want chop. Oh, I can't chop.
And that was music from the continent. Hope you enjoyed it. Nightline Africa comes to you on Saturdays and Sundays at 16 and 18 hours UTC from the English service of the Voice of America. And from the rest of the Nightline team, managing editor Shaka Sali, reporter Douglas Impuga, producer Odette Frazier, and our engineer for today, Justin Thwaites, we say big thank you for joining us tonight. And remember, as the elders say, when the leading animal is lame, the herd fails to get to the pasture. I'm your host, Peter Clotter in Washington. Good evening, Africa.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Russia, Turkey, and Iran, at a conference in Astana, Kazakhstan, announced an agreement to create de-escalation zones in major areas of conflict between Syrian government forces and rebel groups. The United States was represented at the Astana conference by Acting Assistant Secretary Stuart Jones. The United States was not a direct participant in the negotiation and is not at this point a party to the agreement. The United States supports any effort that can genuinely de-escalate the violence in Syria, ensure unhindered humanitarian access, focus energies on the defeat of ISIS and other terrorists, and create the conditions for a credible political resolution of the conflict, said State Department spokesperson Heather Nauert. The U.S. appreciates the efforts of Turkey and the Russian Federation to pursue this agreement and has encouraged the Syrian opposition to participate actively in the discussions despite the difficult conditions on the ground. We continue to have concerns about the Astana agreement, said Ms. Nauert, including the involvement of Iran as a so-called guarantor. Iran's activities in Syria have only contributed to the violence, not stopped it, and Iran's unquestioning support for the Assad regime has perpetuated the misery of ordinary Syrians. In light of the failures of past agreements, the U.S. has reason to be cautious. We expect the Syrian regime to stop all attacks on civilians and opposition forces, something they have never done, said spokesperson Nauert. We expect Russia to ensure regime compliance. The opposition must also live up to its commitments with Turkey as the guarantor to separate from designated terrorist groups, including al-Nusra Front, which continues to hijack the legitimate aspirations of the Syrian people for a representative and accountable government. The U.S. nonetheless hopes that this arrangement can contribute to a de-escalation of violence, end the suffering of the Syrian people, and set the stage for a political settlement of the conflict. The United States looks forward to continuing its dialogue with Russia on efforts to responsibly end the Syria conflict. The U.S. also continues to support the United Nations-led process in Geneva to bring about a negotiated settlement.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.